For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, October the 28th, 1998. A Minister's Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher.
Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, just let your anointing come down now, Lord. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord Jesus, touch these words now as they go out, Lord. Let them be your words, Lord God. Anoint them as they go forth, Lord God, that they might go down into the heart, Lord, and bear fruit 30, 60, or 100 fold. We ask in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I feel somewhat inadequate to be in such profound company as Brother Frank Hammond and Brother Bill Banks and Chris Simpson, Tommy Cook. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have such wonderful teachers, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Today I wanted to share with you a little bit on a subject that I've heard shared a number of times, but I've never heard it shared this way. And, you know, you've heard the statement, you are saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. It will tell you, that salvation is a continuing process. You've heard that, and that you're going to be saved. Paul said to Peter in Galatians, and we will be saved. And so what was he speaking of? Now we know that at salvation, when you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer kinsman, as the one who paid the price for your sin, and you accept Him as your substitute, and you allow for Him, His death to become your death, and you die with Him, and are raised out of the baptismal water as you're raised up with Him, and of which baptism is a type of this, then you know that your spirit has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, and God has sent the spirit of adoption into your heart. The spirit of the Christus has come into you, and it has sealed your spirit, and you are saved. You're saved. And you're saved. If you've had a genuine salvation experience, and become born again. That is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so you're saved. You are saved in your spirit. Now we are being saved in our soul. And our bodies will be saved when this soulish body, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, we are buried a natural body. Now, that word natural really means soulish. Now, you know that if you look up the word soulish in Webster's dictionary, there is no such word. But it is in German, it is in French, it is in Scandinavian, it is in Latin, it is in Greek. Just not in English. And so, Paul, the word psuka is translated natural, physical, sensual. It's used about five times, I think, or six. It has a number of things, but it means soulish, of the soul. And so you have a soulish body. And it's going to be buried, a soulish body. And your body will be saved when it is raised a spiritual body. That's when it will be saved. Now, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:34. Let's read that. This is the foundation for saying that you have a spirit, soul, and body. 5:23. Now may the Lord of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before you, God created you, he created you a triune being. The spirit was in the center, and it was the mistress. It gave the instructions. The soul took instructions from the spirit and commanded the body. You know that your body won't move unless your soul tells it to? That the soul controls all the nerves going to all the parts of the body? And your body won't move unless the soul tells it to. And so before the fall, the spirit was in charge. Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust or the clay of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Well, that word life there is kleia. It's the same word used, it's plural, and it's the same word used for the tree of life. When they were cast out, the serpent stayed there to keep them out so they could not eat of the tree of life. And so man became a living being, a living soul. That word soul there is nephah. Now, you have to pardon me. They said about me in high school I could torment one poor word 10,000 ways. And I, you know, I'm like Chris Simpson. I know a little Hebrew that runs a jewelry store and a Greek that runs a delicatessen. But nephah is ultimately translated life and soul. And it indicates your natural soulish life. That's what the word means. You know, in Proverbs where it says if a man commits adultery, he destroys his own life. That word is nephah. He destroys his soul, the soulish life. The life within the soul is soulish. And it's nephah. It's different from the tree of life. In Greek, there are three words for life. The first is bio. Biology is a study of general life. It comes from the word bio. That means plant life, animal life, all various types of life. Psuche, from which we get psychiatrist and psychologist, and means soul. Now, it's alternately translated soul and life, and it means a soul life within you. And the last word is zoe. And that is the eternal life of God. That's God's eternal life. And those words are used differently. They're all translated life. And when you're studying these passages, you got to know whether you're talking about bio, psuche, or zoo. Because it makes a lot of difference in understanding what Jesus was saying. Now, we know that Adam... And so when God took the clay and he molded it, and he molded it into it, he made a perfect structure, perfect sculpture, a beautiful sculpture, and he got down on his knees and he blew into it. He breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. He breathed that multiple life into it. So when it created the spirit of man and it created the soul. Where that spirit hit the clay, it created flesh, it created a soul life, and then it created man's spirit. That man's spirit's everlasting life. And it says in Ecclesiastes that at the end of life, man's body goes to the dust, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So, clay goes up, nephah goes to the dust. Goes where ever. Now, you have to understand your soul is you. Your soul is you. It's that part that's uniquely you. And so when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And that soul that soul life, what happens to it depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this Adam communicated with God. In Genesis 2, it says, and God, verse 15, then God took the man and kept him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it, to tend it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, and he communicated with him. And then over in verse 19, he said, out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought him to Adam to see what he would call him. And whatever called each living creature, that was his name. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the bird and the beast of the field. Do you realize the intelligence man had before the fall? Now, he named everything God created. And he named it on Hebrew. The name indicates the function. Now, modern psychologists will tell you we probably use 10% of our brain or less. It is the most fantastic computer ever designed. They don't even know how it works. Now, they got all kind of fancy ideas, but they really don't know how it works. They don't understand how you can remember things, how these electrical circuits can go. And I've heard so many different theories on it, but they don't really know. They really don't understand. But man lost a tremendous intellect when he fell. And when will you get that back? When you can be completely saved. And that means that when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are restored, then you will have again the intellect Adam had before the fall. If you could walk as Jesus walked without sin, you could have that intellect. Now, I won't go any further there. I have lots of different theories on how I think this is used by demonic forces, but I won't. And I have some scripture for it, but that's a rabbit trail I'm not going to go down too much today. But we'll move on here. And so, when man fell, he lost the ability. He said that if you eat of this tree, you shall die. And what happened was, he spiritually died. His spirit died and he lost communication with God. Now, it didn't mean that God couldn't communicate with him, because he did. He talked to him after he had fell. And he told him what the curses were. And God can do anything he wants to, but it means that you have lost the ability to communicate with God. He can communicate with you, but you've lost the ability to open communication when you are unsaved, when you are heathen, when you are human spirit is dead. Now, in Ezekiel, he said, I will put a new spirit in you. That's salvation. And then I will put my spirit in you, the Holy Spirit. Y'all all remember that? Okay. And so, when you become the fall, the spirit dies, and the soul suddenly becomes the master of the body. Now, the soul, he's a born leader. And he enjoys being in charge. And he likes it. Now, the only problem with it is that he is in bondage to the law of sin and death. He's in bondage to the body of sin. Because of Adam's sin, Adam and all of his inheritance, until the last Adam came, inherited this carnal nature, rebellious nature that came down from Adam, because we were all in Adam when Adam sinned. And so we inherited this. Let's look at Ephesians 2:3. Lord, I'm not going to ever get through if I don't speed up. Have I lost anybody yet? Okay. Ephesians 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, which you once walked according to this, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works among the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind, and were by nature. That by nature means by birth. Children of wrath just as the others. You inherited the carnal nature which puts you in bondage to the law of sin and death. Your will was in bondage. Now, when you became saved, God reversed this and He put a new human spirit and a Holy Spirit. He quickened, and He will quicken your mortal body. And so now we have a contest. Who's going to be the boss, the soul or the spirit? Let's talk a few minutes about the spirit. The spirit is composed of three parts. The conscience. And that is the discerning organ that tells you the difference between right and wrong. And even with a dead spirit that cannot communicate with God, that's dead to God, you still have a conscience. Heathen still have a conscience. Now, where does it say anything about the conscience? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 2:3. It says, the Lord God hardened Pharaoh in his spirit. John 13:21 says, when Jesus had thus spoken, he was troubled in his spirit. I would love to go back and talk about the conditions of all of these, but we don't have that much time. You'll have to research this yourself. Acts 17:16 says, his spirit was provoked in him when he saw the city was full of idols. Paul was in Athens, and he saw all these idols, and his spirit was provoked or troubled. Conscience bothered him. 2 Corinthians 2:13, Paul said, I had no rest in my spirit. He was waiting on, I think, Titus to come. Titus didn't come. He said, I had no rest in my spirit. So his conscience bothered him. And so when you sin, your conscience tells you it's wrong. But the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It says that in Hebrews. Hebrews 8:23, I think. But it says, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And if it keeps coming up, it's not your conscience. Once you've confessed it, put it on the blood, if it keeps coming back to your memory, it is not your conscience. It's an evil spirit bringing it up. Because the Lord says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Here it is, chapter 9, verse 12 through 14. It's Hebrews 9:12-14. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ will purge or cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so first you have your conscience. That's the organ of discerning organ. Then you have your intuition. That is the sensing organ. And that is the organ through which the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He very seldom speaks in an audible voice. It is a knowing in your breast that rises up in you. It's a knowing. And that's part of your spirit. Scriptures for that are Mark 2:8, Jesus perceived in his spirit. Mark 8:12, he sighed deeply in his spirit. Acts 18:5, Paul was pressed in the spirit. And that's your intuition. And your last part of your spirit is your communion through which you worship God. And so you have your conscience, your intuition, and your worship. You remember Jesus said, true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You worship God through the communion of your spirit. You commune with Him. Luke 1:7, Mary said, my spirit rejoices in God, my Maker. For John 4:23 says, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Romans 1:9 says, I will serve Him with my spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, I will sing with the spirit. All of those are worshiping God. When you come into a place of communing with God and you come into true worship, that's when you get on your face and the glory comes down. And the heavy weight of glory will come down. And you have trouble standing up. You're communing through your spirit with the Holy Spirit. Now the soul is divided into three parts too. And the first part of the soul is the will or the volition. This is the instrument of decision. It's the indication of our power to choose. Without this, we would be like puppets, you know, on the end of a string, on automaton. The second is the intellect of the mind. Through this, wisdom, knowledge, and reasoning come. The Greek word for this is logic. And quite often, Paul uses the word logic. Without it, we'd be foolish or dull. And the Greek word foolish comes from the word moronic, from which we get moron. Got no intellect, you're a moron. The third portion is your emotion. Our likes and dislikes. You love, hate, joy, anger, sad or happy. If you don't have any emotion, then you're dull and insensitive as wood or stone. So God expects you to use your soul. But He expects you to use it as He tells you to. Now, you know that when you're saved, you are dead to sin. I've got verses. Maybe I better read these verses out before we get into this. Volition, Psalms 27:12. Give me not up to the will, nephar, soul, of my adversary. Psalms 41:12. Thou dost not give up to the will, soul, of my enemy. Psalms 21:14. You shall not let her go. You shall let her go where she will. Soul, again. That, and all three of those wills is nephar, which means soul. That's the volition. What they're saying there is if you had married her, if you've taken a captive prisoner and you've separated her and you've married her and she's unpleasant to you and you don't like her, then you turn her loose. You don't sell her. That's what the law says. That's what that's all about. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Your intellect, Proverbs 19:2, also it is not good for the soul to be without knowledge. Proverbs 2:10, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Proverbs 3:21-22, last part of 21, keep the sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul. Be clay to your psuche. To your nephar. Psalms 139:14, marvelous are the words that my soul knows very well. And so your emotion, Psalm 107:18, his soul abhorred all matter of food. That's what he's talking about in Psalm 109 when these rebellious people got so sick they couldn't eat. 2 Samuel 5:8, who are hated by David's soul. For Luke 1:46, my soul magnifies the Lord. Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. And so those are emotions. Well, when you are when you are saved, you become dead to sin. Let's look at Romans 6:1. Now, this is an accomplished fact, people. That when you are saved, you are dead to sin. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or don't you know as many of you who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? That means saved. You're being baptized. Salvation in several places of the Bible is spoken of as being baptized into Jesus Christ. I can show you several other scriptures. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be within the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be rendered inoperative, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Once you are truly saved and had a genuine salvation experience, you are dead to sin. You're dead to sin. Now, if you've been in bondage, I had a friend, a young man came to our church, and he was been a missionary over in India, and he talked about that there were so many heathen idols, and these people had been in idolatry, that when they got saved, that the first thing they did was they took them through deliverance to cast out all the demons in them. And these people became truly committed Christians. And he said, much more than we have in our country. He said, these people are willing to die for Christ. And they're dead to sin. And I think it's because we take them through deliverance, because they've been into idolatry so much. And my answer to him, I sat down to him next at the dinner table, and I said, do you think there are more idols in India than there are in this country? And he looked at me and said, no, I think the idolatry in this country is much more subtle. I said, you think there are more demons in India than in this country? And he could see where I was going. And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, don't you think then that the Christians who get saved here, who've been in idolatry to greed and to money and to prosperity and to control and witchcraft and lust and idolatory and drugs, ought to be delivered? And just like those people in India? And you know what that fine gentleman did? He turned his back on me and started talking to the person on the other side. He just sort of turned this way and started talking. And he would not acknowledge the question. You know why? The Assembly of God. Didn't want to lose his license. He knew the answer. Didn't want to offend anybody. After all, when they take up the love offering, you know, he doesn't want to offend anybody. Praise, oh God, forgive me for judging him. Forgive me for judging him. Oh God. Oh Lord Jesus, I praise your name, Lord God. To each, oh God, to his master each servant must stand or fall, and God is able to make him stand, Lord. Lord, forgive me. You know, you shouldn't judge God's servants. Romans 15 says, who are you to judge another man? For God is able to make him stand. And God will make him stand. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I apologize to all of you. I was wrong. But that is what happened. That is actually what happened. I should not judge. What I spoke then was judgment, and I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Nevertheless, and so, if you've got demons, you need to get them cast out. But once you get delivered, and once you get, and you're dead to sin, you ought to be able to walk a godly life. Well, why do so many people fall down? Why do so many people come back in for another retread? You cast all the demons out of them, and yet in less than 6 months, they're back in there, and they got them again, and you say, oh, what have you been doing? Have you been drinking? You've been fornicating? You've been into witchcraft? No! No, I've been out working, man. I've been out saving souls. I've been out working for the poor. I've been out singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school. You know, young people, that if you won't let your body sin, your soul sin. Now, the soul loves to be in charge. And the soul loves to yield to the lust of the flesh, the deceitful lust of the flesh. It loves to do that. But if you won't let it, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you know what soul does? Soul does good works. Yes, sir. That's good works, boy. I mean, he's out saving souls. I mean, it's the will of God that everybody should be saved. I mean, you know any place in the Bible where it says you're not supposed to go save souls? Now, somebody always knows a place where it says that. It says in Acts, Paul wanted to go down to Asia. I mean, a lot of unsaved folks down in Ephesus, but the Spirit of God prevented him. He wanted to go up to Mileto. The Spirit of God said, you can't go there. You got to go over to Troas. You mean I got to get on a boat and go over and cross the water? Walk 100 miles out of the way? That's right. And Paul did that. Now, I can assure you, if Paul had gone down to Asia, into Ephesus, he would have been in what is commonly called today a difficult missionary field. There would have been very little fruit that would have come forth out of that, because he would not have been in the will of God. And the thing is that if you move by the power of your soul, you will move in self-empowerment, self-glorification, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, pride, back into demons. Anytime You remember that you have told you that you had a soulish body. Remember I told you that? That the body was soulish. And the soul, remember, Jeremiah 17 says, the soul, the heart, or the soul, is deceitful above all things and desperately ill, wicked. Who can know it? God says, I know it. I can discern it, but your soul will fool you. It will deceive you. You find people, now we were talking about the prophets, people who had the real ministries that went off. What'd they do? They reached down into their own soul and drew that prophecy out. Sometimes it's the religious spirits attached to their soul. You know, they've gotten very important. Their ministry is very big now, you know. I have this huge ministry. I've got so many hundred people in my church, or so many thousand, or so many. I've got. We're building this great thing, and God has just blessed me. And man, we are just. I'm moving on, and I'm just saving people every day. And boy, it's just a wonderful. I have a wonderful ministry, and it's me, and Jesus, little Jesus, big me. And so, self-righteousness, self-pride has come in. And what does James say about that? Let's look at James 3. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, psuche, soulish, demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. So when you lean on the soul, on your natural ability, and you don't lean on the Holy Spirit, and you move forward in that, then you open yourself to demonic influence. That's the reason, you know, you have to be very careful and you have to pray. And you have to be willing to take the low place and let God exalt you. And always give God the glory. Because I'm going to tell you, in the ministry, nothing happens of value happens without the Spirit. Anything that's not of the Spirit has no lasting value. It's all hay straw and stubble and demonic and will cause you, pierce you through with many sorrows. And so, praise you, Lord Jesus. I've gotten so far away from these notes. Let's look at the works of the flesh. Let's look at the works of the flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at Galatians now. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. All of you have read these. The works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revels, and the like. They are works of the flesh. Now let's hold your finger there and go over to John chapter 3. Chapter 3, 6. That, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus now. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born out of the soul is flesh. And let's look at Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law, neither can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh, or the soul, cannot please God. For we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Please. Let's look at verse 14. Now this is the key. For as many as who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In all things, you be led. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 6 now. Chris quoted this, verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting, will reap Zoe, everlasting life, God's life. Now, I've heard that quoted so many times with taking up the collection. But that's speaking of your works that come out of your soul, out of your natural ability, out of your natural power, your natural talents, when they aren't directed by the Holy Spirit. And I said, make no mistake about it. Some of them are good works. But if you follow them, if you follow them, you need to look and see where they're taking you. If they're self-empowered, then they lead to self-glorification, self-righteousness, and you become the Son, not God. That's the reason he says to wealthy people, don't blow the trumpet when you make an offering. Now, you know, the Pharisees, they gave about 25% of their income away. 10% went to the temple. Another 10% went to the widows and offerings. And there was ever so often there was another tithe that went someplace else. But a good Orthodox Jew gave away 25%. But when he got ready to help the poor, he sent a man before him with a trumpet. And he blew the trumpet. And he said, Brother Jones is going to help the poor. And all the poor would line up. And he would come by and pass out money to them. And everybody would bow and scrape and thank the great rich man, whom God, they felt God had blessed. And Jesus said, that's wrong. Or when he went to put the tithe in, these big tithes in the temple, he blew the trumpet and he came up and they had these horns that he dumped it in for everybody to see. And it was a public thing. And everybody knew exactly how much they gave. And you don't want to offend them, like in so many churches today. The pastor knows who he looks at the tithe and records to see who's giving. So he knows who not to offend. Unfortunately, those that are being led by the flesh and depending on the flesh instead of on the Lord Jesus Christ, then they will look at the tithing records to see who's giving and how much they're giving, so they won't offend them. They don't want to offend anybody. Praise you, Lord God. The works of the soul are self-powered, self-centered, self-glorifying, self-righteous. Now, those who lean towards the will of the volition will walk according to their own delight and refuse the will of God. They'll be stubborn. These people are stubborn people. I mean, you can tell them something, and they'll have 50 reasons they don't want to do it. The pastor can tell them something, or you can, and you're working with them, and you try to minister to them. They've got 50 reasons they won't do it. And sometimes they're very intelligent people, and they picked up an intellectual demon. And they will argue with you for hours. And you feel like you're talking to a demon. And they're resistant. They're stubborn, resistant. Now, Brother Frank will tell you that that comes in sometimes from being rejected. And people who've been rejected walk in the soul and they become stubborn. They're saved Christians. The Spirit's saved. But man, their soul's in bad shape. And they're stubborn, unteachable people. Those who lean towards their mind will walk according to their own wisdom and neglect the guiding of the Holy Spirit. These people have real intellectual demons. And they read their Bible. But they don't hear the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit doesn't open them to them. You know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't open this book to you, it is the most frustrating thing in the world to try to read and make sense out of. But with the Holy Spirit, with the tutors of the Holy Spirit, even the simplest person can take this Bible. A small child can take this Bible on the tutorage of the Holy Spirit, and it makes sense to them. It will open it, and it will make sense to them. Whereas you can get the university professor who has got the great IQ and the PhD, and he's unsaved, and he's read it many times because he teaches it in seminary, but it's a closed book to him spiritually. And he will find 1,000 reasons to pick holes in it and tell you why it's wrong and where it's gone wrong and where this part does not, this isn't really, you know, this isn't, you know, this really wasn't written then, and, you know, Paul didn't really write this, somebody else wrote this, and John didn't write this, somebody else wrote this, and this was added someplace else, and these chapters weren't written by the prophet Isaiah. And they got all these things, you just listen to them, and you say, Jesus said it was written by the prophet Isaiah. Well, how do you know Jesus said that? The Bible says so. Well, how do you know the Bible says that? And they just, you know, and our records show, and we've got this and that, and, you know, and you just, sometimes they're saved people. Hallelujah. And so then those are toward emotion. They seek pleasure and feeling. They're unstable people. They're hot one minute, they're cold the next. You get one man up and he's and the meeting is going one way. Boy, they're just hot to trot that way. And suddenly they perceive that it ought to change. Somebody brings up something else and they just hot to trot off the other way. They will say whatever the crowd says. They will say what's necessary to please the crowd. Now you see emotion a lot in deliverance. I've seen people get up and conduct, quote, deliverance services strictly out of the power of the soul and get people so worked up and so excited working in the soul. And I mean, they'll bring them up, then the altar will be full. And they'll be up here kneeling and slobbering and carrying on. And coughing and carrying on and rolling in the floor. And they leave. And you come back next week. And you preach that same sermon the same way. And the same folks are going to be up here slobbering and rolling. And after three or four, you say, what is this? Because there's been no spiritual transaction. It's all in the soul. Lots of the praise you hear in charismatic churches lacks the spirit. It's all in the soul. I was in a church with our praise group. I went with the praise group to a church that had a national church, and it was a mixture of spirit and soul, mostly soul. And they begin to beat the drums real fast, and the young girls begin to swirl on the stage, and their skirts went out, and I had to turn my eyes. Because I felt something trying to rise up in me. I said, oh, God. And they reminded me of the swirling dervishes that you see in India. Dervishes. And in the Sudan. And it's all soul power. But they got that beat of the drum. And for people who are not discerning, they think that's wonderful worship. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And you say, well, Brother Miller, you brought up all these questions. What are we going to do about it? Soul life must be delivered to the cross. You have to take up your cross and follow Him daily. Now in Matthew 10:38-39, Jesus said that he who will keep his suke in this life shall lose it. But he who shall lose his suke shall keep it to eternal life, to Zoe. You've got to lose your soul. And if you read Matthew 10, it tells you have to deny your natural affections. It talks there about if you don't love Jesus more than you love your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. It's talking about you have to deny the natural affections that come up and love God more. He comes first in your life. And Matthew 16:34 was right after Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. And then he said that you've got to lay down your soul. And then he said they're going to come get me and they're going to crucify me. And Peter said, don't, far be it from you for this to happen. Pity yourself. Have pity on yourself. Don't do that. And he said, get behind me, Satan. That's not the Spirit. For you don't circle the things of the Spirit. And so you have to deny. Not pity yourself. How many of y'all come into a situation in the Spirit where you've been tested a little bit or been chastised a little bit or you've come into an unpleasant situation? Any of y'all ever been there? As you lean on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I thank you, Lord God. Whatever I'm supposed to learn, let me learn it real good so I won't have to come back this way again, Lord God. and say, I am not self-pity. Get off my back. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's going to get me through this. And you pray, and He leads you through it. A lot of folks will sit down and begin to reap in it to you, and they'll go over here, and they'll go over yonder, and they'll go over there looking for words, saying, well, somebody agree with them that this is going to pass away. I was standing right there 10 years ago, and Glenn Foster from down in Phoenix said, you in the brown suit. He said, would you hold up your hand so you... I don't know. He said, you look mighty prim and proper standing there. Look so nice, but I tell you, I'm going to shake your cage. And you're going to drop off that perch. And then he said some other things. And I went home, and I got down before God. And I got the tape out, and I listened to it. It witnessed to me. And I said, Lord, whatever it is. Well, it started a 5-year, 4-year trial that ended in me being held up to public humiliation. But you know something? God exalted me. He carried me through it. Now, He warned me it was coming. God does nothing without telling His servants or prophets. And yet it prophesied to me. Now, I prayed and I said, Lord, I need Your strength. It passed away. And I thank Him for it. And I came out of it. I learned a lot. And I thank Him for it. I thank Him for trials and tribulations. For He says, in this life you will have tribulation. And you've got to lay down your soul and not feel sorry for yourself and fix your eyes on your supply, your source, your supplier, your redeemer, your protector, your strength. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, the strength of God. And say, God, I'm ready. Take me through it. Isaiah says, behold, I have fear not, for I have called you by name, you are mine. When you walk through the rivers, the water shall not overcome you. When you walk through the fire, it shall not burn you, because you are mine, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And so, in Luke 17:32-33, speaks of the love of the world. And he says in there, remember Lot's wife. Now, what happened to poor Lot's wife? You know, she was running away from Sodom. And she just turned and looked back at her house. That's all she did. Now, she didn't walk back to go save anything. She just turned and looked. And she became a pillar of salt. Because God had told her not to look back. And he says to you, any of you who put your hand to the plow that turns back's not fit for the kingdom of God. And here it talks about losing your possessions. Let's open your Bible to Hebrews 10:34. Now, you want to hurt, you want to touch somebody and really get next to them, you touch their possessions. I mean, the maddest I've ever seen anybody is somebody, you know, running to their car and dented it. I mean, the folks getting flesh real fast over, you know, their automobile get hurt. Well, you start talking to them about their job and their livelihood. Maybe they're going, you know, something's going to happen to their job. They didn't get the promotion. They're getting the flesh real fast. Let's look at this. It says here, verse 10:33, partly while you were made a spectacle of, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you were companions of those who were so treated. But you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. How many of you people are ready to see somebody take all your stuff away from you because you're a Christian? You know, that time may be coming, people. But he says. And so, John 12:5. Let's look at John 12:5. I want to read this one. We'll go over what it means now. Now, you realize that I could have talked about the soul life being delivered across for 2 hours. I want you all to go back and read that. There's so much there. Okay. John 12:23. The hour has come. But Jesus answered and said to them, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. But surely I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He who loves his psuche, that soul, will lose it. And he who hates his psuche in this world will keep it for eternal zoe. Psuche is soul life. Zoe is eternal life of God. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, for where I am, my servant will be also. And if anyone serves him, my Father will love him. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. You've got to be willing to flesh is flesh. And what's born of the flesh is flesh. Now I showed you that if you move in the flesh, you will sow to the flesh and you'll reap corruption in your soul. That's demons will come back in. And that's the way demons come in to Christians, good Christians who walk according to the Spirit. Good Christians, not who walk according to the Spirit, good Christians who walk good Christian lives and tithe and do good things and teach Sunday school and go on mission trips and saving souls. But they're doing it for their own purposes. They're doing it for self-glorification. They're doing it because it makes them feel good, not because God has called them, because it makes them look good to others. It makes them the center of attention. It's something they can talk about. You know, soulless Christians are real talkative. They just love to talk all the time. They talk and gabble and talk, and they're unstable as water, and they love to be the center of attention, and they got an answer for everything. They know everything. Hallelujah. So, how do you minister to them? How do you minister to yourself? I have three verses, and they're all verses I'm sure you're all familiar with. Let's look first at Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. That word body there is soma. That's the whole body, spirit, soul, and body. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That transformed means metamorphosized. It's the turning of the caterpillar into the butterfly. It's turning from it's a transformation from the inside out. The cocoon looks the same, but inside that cocoon, that caterpillar is changing into the butterfly. And be renewed, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Now, the renewing of your mind is a changing from the inside out. Now, when you are completely filled with the Holy Spirit, when you pray that God will send His Spirit down upon you, fill you, and ask for more of Jesus, the wisdom of God, the strength of God, He will show you, if you lay it down before God. Now remember, you're on that altar. Unfortunately, so many people, when they feel the heat, jump off. They feel a little heat, you know. That altar's got a fire on it. They burn up things on it. And you're not like that animal they cut up and put up there. You're alive. And so when they feel that heat, when you feel a little heat, remember what he said. When you walk through the fire, it shall not burn you. Didn't say you wouldn't feel the heat. When you walk through the river, he said the water won't overcome you. Didn't say there wouldn't swirl up around your neck. But you move forward in faith knowing that you have a Redeemer who will keep His Word. He is true. Okay, let's look at Hebrews now, chapter 4. We'll leave that one alone. And we'll look over at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the Word of God, the Logos, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and the discerner and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open. That word open there means trachea. It was a word when they pulled the head back to slit the animal's throat. To the eyes of Him whom we must give account. And then he goes on and talks about the Logos. Seeing then we have a high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That confession means saying the same as Jesus. Now, the imagery is that you are laid on the altar, just as the animal was laid on the altar. And just as the high priest took the knife and cut up the animal, Jesus stands over you. You're a high priest with a knife. And he's going to cut out what offends. He's going to cut out what offends. He's going to divide your soul and your spirit. If you will let him. Are you willing to let Jesus cut your throat? That's what it means. Open. That's trachea means right there. And so, Jesus, the Logos, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and was God. And it became flesh and came to dwell among us. That's Jesus. He is the living Word of God. He is the living Word. Hallelujah, Lord. Now let's look at the third one. We'll go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and you've all seen this one before, but I want you to look at it because we're looking at things just a little differently. Just a little differently. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of a stronghold, that means a castle, that's something, that's a fortified position. Pulling down of the fortified position that the enemy has built in your mind. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And so you have to be ready to offer yourself as a sacrifice to God, to let the high priest, Jesus, divide your soul and spirit, and willing to let it go, folks. Self-pity's got to go. You got to love him more than any natural affection that you have. And you got to be willing to let the world go. For all the world lies in the lap of the evil one. You got to be willing to let the world system go. And depend on your provider, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? First is know the necessity of having the spirit and the soul divided. As we said, Jesus is the high priest who holds the knife. And the altar of your own gets a little hot sometimes. But be willing. Know that this is a necessary function. And it's going to hurt. It's going to cost. It's going to cost. But the rewards are great. The rewards for not doing it, a disaster. A disaster. Ask. Matthew 7:7-11 says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And it goes on and talks about the fish and the snake and so forth. And it says, and how much more will your Father give you a good gift that you ask for? That word asked is a continuing phase. It says ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. And kick the door down if you have to. But you keep on asking. It's a continuing phase. It's not asking once and quitting. I've heard people say that anybody who prays for something more than once has a lack of faith. And I say, well, Jesus prayed for the blind man more than once. They don't have an answer for that one. They just like that fellow, just sort of turn and walk off. Jesus prayed for the blind man. But he says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock. Just keep on and on. Because you're being saved. Your soul, it's a continuous process. He said, I won't give it to you in a day. But it's a changing. There'll be things that God, that are valuable to you, that God says, let go. Things that you like. We talked about abominable things that people kept in the house for 3 years and almost dead because they didn't want to let them go. Yield. When God gives you a specific word, yield to it. Now, I say to you that we talked about prophecy and words of knowledge. Remember that God always witnesses it to you first, and then He will confirm it through the brethren. Somebody comes and gives you a word that you God hadn't witnessed you, oh, you put that thing up on the shelf. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. And you wait and see. Don't keep taking it down and looking at it. Just stick it up there. It's okay. Fine. Now remember, stand on Romans 6:11. You got to be dead to sin during this. You got to stay out of sin, but then you got to stay out of yielding to the flesh. Study, pray, and study the Bible. 1 Peter 1:22 says the Bible will sanctify your soul. 1 Peter 1, verse 1, chapter 1. Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, sincere love of the brethren, one with another, with a fervently pure heart, read your Bible and bear your cross daily. Remember, it's a small, it's a little foxes. The Song of Solomon 2:15 says it's little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little irritations. It's the little irritations. It's the little anger. God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. People, I say this, if you sin, repent. You stop right then and repent. Right then you say, oh God, don't carry sin. The devil will make you forget that you've done it. So you don't repent. And the little things will add up. When you slip up, stop right then. And turn and say, I'm sorry, brother. Forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, I used to be a great joker. And I used to kid people. I was a practical joker until God gave me the scripture that says, more dangerous than a madman with firebrands and arrows of death is one who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. It's in Proverbs 26, 22. I think that's right. I'll look it up here. But I had to go back immediately and ask forgiveness. And he said, if you will do that each time you deceive someone, if you will stop immediately and ask them for forgiveness, then you will get healed. And sometimes I tell you, it's embarrassing to go back and ask somebody. Let's see, it's chapter 26, verse 18, I'm sorry. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, it's a man who deceives his neighbor and said, I was only joking. Now, it says the wisdom from above in James 3:13, 14, 15 says, wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality. Remember, God said that you're going to be judged without partiality. There is no partiality with Jesus. All going to be judged the same, it says. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. What does hypocrisy mean? It means a play actor, somebody who puts on a face. I mean, it was a face that they used to wear, the actors used to wear. Hypocrisy. A mask. Without a mask. Putting on things. Now, that correlates pretty good with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentle, and willing to, and self-control. And so, when you are crucifying your soul, and you've asked God to fill you and to give you His wisdom, and you feel like you know what to do, look at it. Is it pure? Is it peaceful? Is it gentle? Have I yielded? Love suffers long. Am I long-suffering? Don't take offense. Willing to yield. Full of good fruit? Without partiality? Hypocrisy? If you put that test to it, read your Bible, put that test to it. Be patient and listen to the Word of God. And move in His Spirit. Put others first. Be willing to take the low place. Be a servant. Be willing to clean the house. Put the chairs in order. Pastor asked you to come set the chairs up. Be there and set them chairs up. Asked you to mop the floor and clean the toilets. I ain't too good. I do it. I mop the toilets and clean up the restrooms and set up chairs. Anything else they ask me to do. Because I'll tell you, God honors in the name of Jesus. People, I've talked a little bit longer than I intended. I've covered a tremendous amount. I have a series of teachings on this that last 26 hours. There's much more detail and much more scripture in it. And I say to you that the flesh is deceptive above all things. And deceitfully wicked, who can know it? And it will lead you back into demonic bondage time after time after time. If you have somebody who's leading a good Christian life, and is being sucked back into demonic bondage, then they have to look at their lives. They have to look at their motivation. And they have to look who they put in first. To get down before God. And lay it down before God. And say, Lord, you show me. Hallelujah. Well, will everybody stand up and stretch a little bit? And then we need to pray. We need to bind up the spirits of self-righteousness, self-centeredness, pride, ego, and vanity, and a few other things that come in from being soldiers. Praise and bless you. Lord, jump up now a little bit and get the blood circulating. I tell you, the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. We get the blood up out of your feet and into back up to your heads in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you. Remember that as many as led by the Spirit of God, they shall become the sons of God. As you're led by the Spirit, you won't gratify the works of the flesh. And you won't reap corruption in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Okay, let's pray, people. Say, dear Lord, I love you. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Was manifested in the flesh. Born to the Virgin. Died on the cross for me. For my sin, was dead and buried, rose from the dead on the third day, for my justification, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever make intercession for me. I am a child of God. Jesus Christ is my Redeemer kinsman. He is my big brother. God is my Father. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am not a rejected child. I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, delivering me, healing me. In the name of Jesus, amen. I repent of all the sins of my ancestors. I break all the curses. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus. I repent of seeking after self-glorification. Self-seeking. Selfish ambition. I ask forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of self-righteousness. Of pride, ego, and vanity. I bind them in Jesus' name. I break the curse of idolatry. Over my life. The lives of my children. For four generations. In the name of Jesus. I bind these things. And I command them to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord. I confess. There's some people I resent. I forgive. Anyone. Who's ever hurt me. Abused me. Used me. Cheated me in any way. I forgive them and commit them to you. I ask you to bless them and bring them to salvation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all have a seat now. I presume everybody here has been through a mass deliverance before and knows what a mass deliverance service is. Everybody put both feet on the floor in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bind the spirits of rejection now in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected children. These are children of God. I bind the spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. Rejection by mother, father, by rejection by friends, by boyfriends, by husbands, by wives, by girlfriends, by peers, by bosses. I bind all rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to come off of God's people in Jesus' name. I bind rejection. I bind rebellion. I command pride, ego, and vanity to leave. Self-righteousness to leave. I bind the spirit of self, and I command you to be gone. Turn God's people loose now. Turn them loose. Turn their minds loose. I speak to the high things in their mind, all the strongholds. I pull them down. I pull down the strongholds, the castles in their mind of self-righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the religious spirits of self-righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the religious spirits of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I bind all witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I break all the curses of witchcraft and command it to go in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restitution to these people now in Jesus' name. I bind pride now. I bind Leviathan in the name of Jesus. Pride, spirit of haughtiness, I break your authority. You cannot touch these people. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to leave God's people now. All pride, ego, and vanity be gone in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of stubbornness, stubborn self-will. I bind the spirits of intellectualism in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of ministering without anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the spirit of ministering under false anointing. I break the spirit of ministering under false anointing and religious spirits, deceiving religious spirits. I bind them in Jesus' name. I break their authority in Jesus' name. I stand here and I break your authority. And I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your authority. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All of you, be gone in Jesus' name. I break the authority of it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just let your spirit come down. Let it come down, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and touch your people. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. I just release the anointing to come down. Come, Lord Jesus. Just come down. It's the anointing that breaks and rots the yoke. It's the anointing, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I bind fear. I bind the spirit of fear and lust and inadequacy and insecurity. I bind the spirits of accusation and self-accusation in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of bitterness and self-pity in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of self-pity and I pull out the root of bitterness now. All anger and rage and hostility, I bind you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Touch God's people. Lord, I see the hurt now, Lord. I speak to the wounded spirits, Lord. I speak to all the wounded spirits, Lord, all the spirits that have been pierced by bad things said by people, the arrows that have been shot into these saints, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the arrows that have been shot on them, Lord, by other ministries, Lord God, by other preachers, Lord. I bind that spirit, Lord God, of anger and rage because they stole offerings from them in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I bind the spirit of stolen offerings in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I came and he promised me he'd give me the collection. He only gave me $50 and he took up $300. I bind that spirit of resentment now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of unforgiveness and I release the spirit of healing in the name of Jesus. I speak to healing now. Healing to come forth, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for it. I bind the spirit of the thief in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of poverty and the vagabond spirit that has come over them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I bind the spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all the hurt, the deep hurt be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All deep hurt. Go. Go, wounded spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Self-pity, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of compulsion, go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of perfectionism, go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of criticism, criticism spirits in the name of Jesus. Constructive criticism, go in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. I bind fear. Fear of not having a good offering. Fear of now the money not coming in. Fear of not being able to pay the bills. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. Poverty, I speak to you and I say, be gone. You can't touch these people anymore. I bind the spirit of greed. Greed. I break the power of greed in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, greed. Go. You've got no right in God's people. I break the desire to be rich the desire to be rich, a sure road to hell. I bind the desire to be rich in the name of Jesus. That prosperity demon, the desire to be rich, I break it in the name of Jesus. I break its authority over their lives in the name of Jesus. Cause them to compromise the Word of God. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone in Jesus. Be gone, all of you. That's bind infirmity spirits. I bind all the spirits of infirmity now. I bind all allergies in the name of Jesus Christ. All allergies in the name of Jesus. All congestion, all sinus problems, all ear problems in the name of Jesus. All vertigo, all labyrinthitis, go. All deafness, deafness, I bind you. I break your authority in the name of Jesus. Come out of these people in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 all of you. I bind all eye problems. I bind cataracts in the name of Jesus. I bind the cataracts in the name of Jesus. I break its authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, cataracts, go. I bind astigmatism, nearsightedness, farsightedness, glaucoma. All eye problems in the name of Jesus. I bind all congestion, all sinus problems, all sinusitis, all migraine headaches. Go in the name of Jesus, migraine headaches, go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, migraine. Go. All migraine, get out of here. Go, migraine. All headaches, go. Go, go. In the name of Jesus. All tension headaches, go. All fear headaches, go. All high blood pressure, go. I bind you. But Jesus was made us. Jesus bore all our infirmities, all our sorrows, all our sickness, all our pain. And by His stripes we've been healed. By the stripes of Jesus. I bind you and I command you to leave now. Bind all pyrrhea in the name of Jesus Christ. All labyrinthitis, all laryngitis, all bronchitis, all pneumonia, all emphysema, all lung problems. I bind heart attacks. I bind congestive failure. I bind myocarditis. I bind weak heart, sick heart, slow heart, fast heart. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go. 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 I bind esophagitis, I bind gastritis, I bind peptic ulcer in the name of Jesus. I bind duodenitis, I bind cholecystitis, I bind hepatitis in the name of Jesus. Go! All diseases of the liver, go! All pancreatitis, go! All colitis, all Crohn's disease, go! All diverticulitis, go! I bind the spirits of cystitis, pancreatitis, prostatitis, go! Vaginitis, cervicitis, go! Endometriosis, go! Go! I bind all the spirits of cancer. Cancer, I bind you. Spirits of cancer. I bind all the spirits of cancer. I curse you to your roots, cancer, and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, all cancer, go. I bind all dyspareunia in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the fear of men. I bind the fear of women. I bind the fear of sex in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! I bind all dyspareunia. I bind all impotence in the name of Jesus Christ. Premature climax. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, go. 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 I bind the spirits of endometriosis, infertility, barrenness in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Low sperm count. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind all of you. And I speak healing and restitution. I bind the spirits of claudication. I bind the spirits of arthritis. I bind the spirits of poor circulation. I bind the spirits of stroke and heart attack. Stroke, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. Diabetes, go. Every bit of you. Speak healing and restitution to God's people. Speak healing and restitution to God's people. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.